My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check me out at the annual Black Effect Podcast Festival, happening Saturday, April 27th in Atlanta. Live podcasts are on deck from some of your favorite shows, including this one, Black Tech Green Money, and also some of the best podcasts in the game, like Deeply Well with Devi Brown and Carefully Reckless. Atlanta is one of my favorite cities in the world. I lived there for 2 years, actually. And my worldview, seeing us successful in every industry and not having any limits on our potential, largely was shaped by Atlanta. So to be there with you, doing this podcast, talking about how we build or leverage technology to build wealth, come on, man, it doesn't get better. I want to see you there. Get your tickets today at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. I'm Will Lucas, and this is Black Tech Green Money. J. Byron is the lead developer at Woodlawn Central, a $900 million economic development project on Chicago's South Side. The massive project will include a boutique hotel, call center, data center, residential buildings, theater, urban farm, and microgrid. And there are plans to integrate technology, a lot of technology like AI, AR, and VR, to assist with the community health, safety, education, and tourism aspects of the project. And they're developing with the community, not in spite of it. This project focuses on economic development without displacement. There's this pervasive South Side of Chicago narrative that exists, focusing on how rough it can be. And the stereotype echoes that of many majority Black or minority communities. But J. Byron and his partners didn't just let that perspective continue, but are actively working to change it with entrepreneurial efforts. So what was the catalyst that drove them to engage?
The media does a terrible job at representing Chicago in its true form. It's not even the top 10 of most dangerous cities if you look at statistics, but Being that this is a church-driven project, and the church has been there for 90 years, both my grandfather and my father are community activists, and my grandfather did about 17 developments within Woodlawn. Woodlawn is probably one of the most organized Black communities. It really functions on four major pillars: economic development, health, education, and safety. And so in regards to your question about safety, you have to make sure that you are highlighting the positive sides of what can be within the community. And it comes from a private development space or private investment space. And so the more people from the community invest in the community, the safer it becomes. So when you have high economic development and high safety, then you have low needs for health and lower needs for or higher needs for education. And so, you know, it in the media, they don't do a very good job, but we feel that when you invest privately into the community, it is imminent that the economics become better for everybody.
So let's talk about that for the people who are not very familiar with Woodlawn Central. Can you explain what this project is?
Sure. Woodlawn Central is a catalyst development from a much larger full community plan that we did pre-pandemic, and we coined that as a 2060 plan. And so it's about bringing culture and identifiable culture to what we understand as the Black community. And so when you look around and you see Chinatown and Ukrainian Village and Little Italy and Greektown, there's an ethnic-centric sustainability that we have not yet been able to benefit from. And we haven't seen this kind of complete community in over 100 years since Greenwood. But Woodlawn Central is that future understanding or that future manifestation of if Greenwood had never happened from the devastation of it. So we're looking at house, not just housing, but also commercial space. So Woodlawn Central is about 870 mixed income housing from affordable to market rate and some luxury. So 215,000 gross square feet of commercial space. We have a business center, which is consists of a data center and a digital resource center that's focused on AI, AR, and VR for the training and development for the youth and adults. We have a 154 key hotel, a new head house for our transit. We have a microgrid. It's about 11,000 square foot microgrid that powers the entire campus itself and some of the community. We have 530,000 cubic feet of vertical farming space, which renders about 3 tons of produce annually. So we can source for the community as well as a distribution model. In Illinois, every grocer has to source locally, so it's a really good model for the community to not just benefit from food resourcing, but it's also a good economic opportunity as well. We're going to replace the parking since the project is on the church parking facility. It's about 8 acres of parking that Dr. Brazier, after some coaxing, said, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I like the sustainability model. And so it's a really large project. It's about $895 million. And we are real close to groundbreaking.
And so when you think about, you mentioned the microgrid and other things, when you think about what's different about this project versus many other, you know, economic development, community development projects, with your focus on integrating technology and sustainability, like how are you hoping to change the outcomes for our people in these communities when you rely on those sorts of assets and features?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that in our musing about the development itself is we have to kind of leapfrog 100 years of the lack of social and economic sustainability, and then leapfrog another 30 years into the future, of which is, you know, imminent of AI being completely integrated within the next 10 years. And so we're going to focus on making sure that those who have the ability to learn new skills and technology, that they benefit from that in a career startup or even a jobs process. This also brings social sustainability as we're looking at creating Woodlawn Central as a community innovation district. We're looking at making sure that there's a digital master plan that goes along with the physical master plan, which is your plumbing and electrical and what have you. So we want to make sure that we're setting up the community to be an arm of a smart city. So you have a smart city, but then you also have a smart community that can access all of the information and make sure that we are as up to date on all of our technology, which really will help exponentially in economic development and education.
And so I found this quote from you where in a different story where you said, technology is a tool and it should be used as a tool and not a solution. It should be humanity over technology as opposed to technology over humanity. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody is really afraid of AI taking their jobs and taking over and making decisions for us. And I think that if we allow technology to become the solution, then I think those things will happen. So it's really up to us to make sure that we are being thoughtful about the social and economic approach that looks at the immediate need, the future need, and the extreme forecast to make sure that these new technologies that are coming up actually fit into a model of our own sustainability, where humanity is always at the forefront of everything that we do. And I feel like though we are building buildings, we need to also build people. And in building people, we must have a humanitarian approach to it.
I love that. I love it. So as a tool, how do you see these technologies enhancing both the resident experience and the overall, you know, economic ecosystem for the community?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Communications is probably, I think, one of the greatest opportunities that create us to use technology as a tool. Our smart buildings, being able to access information as quickly as possible. Information is so fast, and it's going to become even faster. And to be able to access information at the rate of which it is coming out, and having the technology being able to accommodate for anything that we need to be ready for, whether it's a blackout or another pandemic or, you know, or even an event, being able to use that technology also to stay up on our bills, to stay up on our utilities. Knowing how much we're using and how much we can save. And so it comes down to mitigating the risk for the investors as well as the developers and especially the residents.
Like that. I was looking at your website and there's this phrase in there, you know, development without displacement, which I really thought was cool. And you mentioned this a little bit when you were talking about, you know, building on parking lots versus, you know, taking over other housing. And so can you elaborate on, like, the strategies, maybe initiatives that are in place to achieve this without, you know, the negative sort of gentrification that has happened in other places?
Right. Absolutely. My background in urban planning, one of the things that happens a lot is, especially within our community, is people from the urban planning side don't look like us. And so they're coming in and they're really kind of checking the box and they're saying, okay, talk to the community, check, right? The community is in favor, check. And really are absent of the lived experience for us and for our community. And so it's almost impossible for them to develop our community and somehow it not affect us in a negative way. So the idea of development without displacement is based on the fact that it's development from the inside out. It's coming from the community that says, here's what we understand as our needs. Here are the things that we understand as a process to plan development or urban development and design. Here are the things that we know that we'll, our children's children's children will need within this process. And that helps mitigate, again, the risk of displacement. And because this is a church-driven project, and I want to say this, that I know lately churches have been kind of a complex conversation, but the church is the only and longest standing organization within the Black community and is also the only organization that can do projects at this level. And so it takes the church, the survival of our community squarely lies on the shoulders of the church. And I've gotten Dr. Brazier to understand that in many different ways. And one of the things that he has publicly announced is that he's going to take 10% of the profit of Woodlawn Central and recirculate it into the community as a CDFI. So that way when taxes and things do raise just based upon the natural development process, that there will be grants and sponsorships and scholarships for residents, current residents, who will be able to stay in their homes. So I know I kind of, you know, it's a little bit of a longer story, but I think that we have to thread the idea of displacement or development without displacement really comes from the inside out.
Yeah. I was reading up on this, and you talk a lot about like sustainability, particularly in regards to energy generation. Can you talk about, you know, you mentioned microgrids a little bit, but can you talk about what you're doing with microgrid and other efforts that you might be working on here?
Yeah, absolutely. The microgrid is really important. It will probably be one of the first things that go in. And even though it's not one of those kind of like sexy, you know, buildings and, you know, architectural type of aspects to the project, it really is kind of the cornerstone of the energy sustainability as a data center really takes up a lot of power. And so to make the data center and the overall digital infrastructure make sense, the microgrid in and of itself is really important. And one of the things that I like about the direction we're going in is we're actually creating a command center that uses the power and calculates and analyzes how much power is going to the vertical farm, how much is going to the residents, how much is going to, and it's an opportunity to do waste management and utility management. And without the microgrid, we wouldn't be able to actually use those kind of technological tools without having that level of power.
We talk a lot about home ownership, and home ownership has been largely, you know, preached as a way to build wealth, you know, generationally. And I think about, I guess my question is, how does Woodlawn consider facilitating home ownership or encouraging home ownership? Like, how does this opportunity play out so that the residents and people who are taking advantage of what you're building, they're able to build that generational wealth?
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, home ownership is really important to us. Affordable home ownership is really important to us. As a district development, we're not doing any single family homes, but this development will catalyze additional development, which will bring more single family homes. But to your point of generational wealth, I think I would be remiss to not talk about the generational practices that lead to generational wealth. And Woodlawn Central, because it's based in a culture over commerce ideology, or philosophy, one of the things that we want to do just intrinsically is make sure that we are creating processes and procedures on how we operate one to another. You know, how do we buy, trade, sell, give, borrow, live, learn? All of these things come to play when we're talking about generational wealth. And so when you look at other ethnic groups, they have antiquitous culture that they get to rely on, which comes out in what they call customs, right? So this customary way on how their kids raise their kids and so forth and so on, and then how they take care of their grandparents and how they take care of each other. I want to be able to utilize this as an opportunity to begin to look at how we reemerge into a holistic community that then at the end of it becomes generational wealth and a self-determination.
Yeah. And so I try not to position questions about, you know, like being a black real estate developer, how do you work when there's mostly white real estate developers around you, but like, how do you navigate this obviously successfully and in a city as big as Chicago?
Yeah. So nationally there's about 112,000 developers and 1,100,000 of them are not black.
Wow.
So we are a very small population within the industry. And so it is not for, you know, the faint of heart, you know, this process of development, because you're dealing with a number of different industries, from the financial industry to the construction industry to the community itself. And so I find it very interesting because I get to deploy a lot of the international education that I have, you know, from you know, kind of doing independent studies overseas and saying, this is how culture is built. So I kind of get to start in a space, in a blank space that says, you don't know how to create valuation for the black community. So let me show you how it's done. And I'm not making anything up. What I'm doing is just mirroring all of the other cultures that have a purview of a higher valuation, but utilizing that and doing it in a way that is industry standard, and in terms that these specific industries can understand. So I make no small plans. And I think that's the biggest the biggest thing to do, because you got people, you know, they don't want to talk to you unless you're talking about something, you know, above $50 million. You gotta, you know, aim as high as you can in that space, and I think that's what really attracts investors and being able to navigate through, you know, some of the processes of development.
Yeah, I want to talk about what you just mentioned right there, because, you know, people don't want to talk about little bitty projects. And, you know, what holds up so many black entrepreneurs or would be black entrepreneurs is they see what it might take them to get started. And you see these stickers of, you know, it's going to take $100,000 to do this thing. It's going to take $1 million to do this thing. And you got a $900 million project here. And it's kind of like, you know, well, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Like, when you see this $900 million project that you're embarking on, that doesn't mean you have $900 million in the bank. And so how do you put together the strategy as somebody who doesn't have $900 million in the bank to say, you know what, this is what we're going to do. These are the steps to doing it.
First and foremost, you have to have a vision, right? You have to know exactly what you want to do. Our community is very unique in the approach because there's a bit of a lack of infrastructure that other communities have. So when we're looking at how to do other smaller projects that are black owned and driven, they have to be catalyzed through larger projects like Woodlawn Central. So there's something referential that says, this worked over here, so therefore it can work over here. Because when you look at it as a whole, it's the condition that's the same. The location may be different, but we in our community need specific things in order for us to be sustainable. And even if you do it one piece at a time, it's okay. At the onset of this, where we are at right now, district development is really important, because it doesn't just change the characteristics of the community. It actually changes the condition. So if I was a smaller developer and I saw a project like Woodlawn Central, I would actually reach out to that developer and say, hey, you know, where can I fit into this? Because I know that if I'm a part of this, then I can continue to grow and do things, you know, as big as what you're doing. So somebody's got to step out and do a $900 million project, so that way we're setting the precedence and we're setting the pathway for other developers, other black developers, to actually enter into the industry.
You had mentioned we're talking about generational wealth, that, you know, sometimes it's not about just home ownership, which is a piece of it or could be a piece of generational wealth. You said sometimes it's like the activities and behaviors of generational wealth. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that when, you know, being in Asia was really kind of the thing that sparked me about how they see each other one to the other. And the things that they do and the practices that they do, you know, I found that, you know, it was very fascinating to me because being, you know, from Chicago and watching, you know, this kind of homogenized group of people be able to create such beautiful cities and create such beautiful cultural aspects. So it's about language, it's about food, it's about garb, it's about dress. How do we do those things? And so I myself cannot create something that says, well, here's what we're gonna do, right? We all have to say, here's a practice that we understand that is contributive to the survival of our generational bloodlines from across the board. And these are the things, though we may not agree, our agreement is not as important as our contribution to the sustainability. And so there's an incentivization process within this critical mass that should be created for us to understand that at the end of this, at the end of our agreement one to another, there is sustainability both socially and economically that we can always rely. I can leave this world knowing that my children are going to be okay, and having to, you know, mind my own business, you know, I'm okay with that, and contributing my gifts and talents, I'm okay with that too. And so there has to be a spark, you know, that begins to get us to start thinking, you know, in this way.
How do you hope this becomes a model across the country and not just in Chicago?
It's almost like if I had a crystal ball, I'd be able to answer that question so much easier.
How do you hope? I mean, this is your wish. Like, you get to build a crystal ball on this one.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I would hope that, you know, with all of the different pro-cultural programs that we're doing in Woodlawn Central, can always be referenced and can always be used as representation to the possibilities of what we are capable of doing for ourselves. And one of the things that I find really interesting when I'm talking to certain people, they say, well, where has this been done before? I said, there's no modern, you know, representation of this since 1921. So this is the beginning of what a model could look like. And I'm always very hesitant to say, here's a model, you know, and use this model, because I think everybody's going to approach what they do differently. But if you are using the framework that we're doing, I designed it so that each community can self-discover on their basic needs.
And so I'd gotten into some economic development in my hometown, Toledo, Ohio, and we're going to go on a renaissance of sorts. And I was, before downtown was that renaissance started, the one that we're in now, a lot of corporations started to turn their attention to downtown, and residents started getting excited and saying, okay, look, something's finally going to happen, right? And so I was frustrated, might be the wrong word, but hoping that we wouldn't just stand back and watch the show, but that we would find opportunity to get in because real estate valuations were going to go up because corporations were starting to turn their head. And so my question is, how do you not just be a representation, but how can you provide opportunity even, but also be representation to those people who are going to be positively impacted by your work, so that they're just not watching the Jay Byron show, but they see opportunity for them to be part of something bigger.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come along with me as I take you back to season one to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and, of course, drama. I'll be joined by some very special guests that'll be helping me break it all down. From award season nightmares to Fashion Week insanity, you'll get the real stories behind some of the most iconic moments in the show. The Rachel Zoe Project definitely changed my life and career in so many ways. The show definitely captured some of the most amazing moments, but also some of the absolute worst. I made the show for all the fashion lovers out there, and I'm so happy that people still watch it and love it so much. So do not miss this special takeover on Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Cannot believe I just said that. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, first I would want to render myself available to those who are looking to achieve what we've achieved here at Woodlawn Central. The information is free, right? And I'm always willing to talk with developers and new people in real estate to kind of give them an aspect of how I approached what I do. This is certainly not my show. There are several other people who are involved in making all of these things happen. But you have to know a lot about a lot of different things when it comes to real estate development. And you have to, and it's almost, the industry itself is almost a red line as well, right? If we did not own our own land, I don't think we would be having this conversation, because land is equity, right? And that's why we never got our 40 acres, because they knew that if they gave us those 40 acres, we would have our own equity. And then they also knew we were capable of self-determination and self-sustainability as well. So it's not that we don't have the ability or we don't have the understanding. A lot of it has to do with access. And to be able to create access through private and public partnerships with the state and the city, the only thing that moves governance is visibility and a critical mass. So this is where where the customary way on how we deal one to another in the contributive community, how important that is, because once a governor or a mayor or a county president sees all of these people galvanized, not just from a reactive sense, but from a proactive sense that says, we have a plan, right?
Yeah.
We will work with said developer because they are part of the 1% who actually get capital, right? And we'll work with them, but they're gonna do what we want them to do, not what they're gonna tell us we're gonna get, because ultimately that's gonna displace us anyway, right? So we have to be very proactive in understanding the industry and understanding, you know, how investment works.
And I think finally, so when you look at where you live, and this is for, this is your example, but when other folks who are listening to this start to think about what opportunities and resources governments provide, you know, I think about where I'm at, state of Ohio, it's a lot of resources for entrepreneurs. And how do you tap in though? Because that's kind of sometimes the trip up is like, we don't know where that first phone call needs to be made, or do you have to be somebody to get the attention, you know? So can you speak on that?
Yeah, you know, that's very layered. I mean, you want to, it's about partnership, right? And it's about a culmination of different talents. And it's about having that unified understanding that, you know, we're all leaders, but here is the vision that we all share. And we are all talking about the same things. We all want the same things, but we're talking about them in our silos, right? We've got to come out of the silo. We've got to actually become a true network of economic development, health, safety, education, tourism, local entertainment, international integration, diversity management, legal, accounting. We've got to put all of our talents into the pot, and then connect with that advocate within governance that says, "I will advocate for you guys," but having the full vision is really important, and having a big vision is really important. And you know, I'm a spiritual guy. You know, I'm a PK, so I come from that God sense. And so, yeah. One of the things that spoke to me in my spirit one day as I was driving was, you don't need permission to share the vision. So if we're waiting for permission to share our vision, then we are going to miss the window in which that vision was given for us to share. And we're always really scared to go out there on our own because nobody wants to fall on their own sword. But if somebody is not brave enough to say, look, here is something very big that I've been thinking of, here is how I think it could be put together, you know, who's with me? Right? This is their Jerry Maguire moment. It's like, who's coming with me? This is big, right? And this is transformational, right? We don't need transaction anymore. We need transformation. So for the people who are wondering, like, how do I do this? Come together with the smartest people that you know and say, look, I've got some ideas. I know you've got some ideas. Let's Voltron this thing together, share it with the governor, share it with the mayor, share it with, you know, our local reps. We started with our local state rep who wrote letters for us on our behalf, but I had to show him something, yeah. You know, in order to get him, I don't want to say bought in, but to get him excited and motivated about what the possibilities were. because nobody in development was talking about microgrids and digital infrastructure and communications. And we weren't talking about that. We were just talking about building buildings and grocery stores and affordable housing. Just really being able to understand the landscape of our community and the needs and necessities of it. You know, that's really kind of, you know, in the few minutes that I have, that I would say that, yeah, that's yeah. what could be done.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. It's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Sarah Ergen in Love Beach. Special thank you to Micah Davis and Kate McDonald. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at Afrotech.com. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Share this with somebody. Go get your money. Peace and love. Check me out at the annual Black Effect Podcast Festival happening Saturday, April 27th in Atlanta. Live podcasts are on deck from some of your favorite shows, including this one, Black Tech Green Money, and also some of the best podcasts in the game, like Deeply Well with Devi Brown and Carefully Reckless. Atlanta is one of my favorite cities in the world. I lived there for 2 years, actually. And my worldview, seeing us successful in every industry and not having any limits on our potential, largely was shaped by Atlanta. So to be there with you, doing this podcast, talking about how we build or leverage technology to build wealth, come on, man, it doesn't get better. I want to see you there. Get your tickets today at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.